First, there have been studies showing the global insect population has been on the decline, but a new report suggests the problem may be worse than scientists previously thought. In 2014, an international team of biologists estimated that over the past 35 years, the number of beetles, bees, and other invertebrates had dropped by 45%. And a study last year showed that in parts of Germany, there's been a 76% decline in flying insects in the past few decades. Now a new report shows a similar drop-off happening in the Americas, in this case, Puerto Rico. In fact, our guest says it's one of the most disturbing things he's ever read. The latest research raises questions about the causes and consequences of declining insect populations. David Wagner is an entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut. He was not involved with this research on Puerto Rico. David, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to be on your show.
So this latest report, this Puerto Rico one, I think, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, why did this one strike you as so worrisome?
Well, we've heard reports of insect decline, particularly in Great Britain and Germany, where they've been studying their insect faunas for years, decades, and even, you could say, centuries. And we've got recent reports of insect decline even in New England. But both of those areas, Europe and New England, would be human-dominated landscapes, whereas the one in Puerto Rico, I find hyper-alarming because it's in a preserve, in a cloud forest, basically away from human people, and yet we have this massive decline, up to 60% loss in biomass of these insects that we depend on for so many ecosystem services.
And let's talk a little bit, before we try to figure out the causes, the consequences here, because I don't want to be glib, but I think a gut reaction here in Wisconsin would go to fewer mosquitoes. That doesn't sound so bad, but what do we worry about when we see massive drops in insect populations like this?
Well, for a lot of people, you know, the only good bug is a dead bug, but that's really sort of naive. It's kind of, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. It's a more complicated, conservation's always like that. But so many of our fruits and vegetables are pollinated by insects. And in fact, about 80% of the world's plants are pollinated by insects. We absolutely have to have these butterflies and moths and wild bees providing these ecosystem services. They are really important in sort of taking the leaves and dead wood and turning that into topsoil, enormously important there in terms of nutrient cycling. They are absolutely the hamburger for terrestrial ecosystems. So across every continent, whenever you have insects, that's the hamburger that's going to make baby birds and reptiles and amphibians and many of our mammals are absolutely dependent. Even grizzly bears are dependent on getting insects in their diet. So I can tell you that spring would be very silent if we didn't have caterpillars, for example, for nesting birds. I would say that caterpillars are probably 80% of the songbirds that we really like, and maybe 60% of the birds in the world are dependent on insects. So you may not like mosquitoes, but you might like your spring to be ushered in with songbirds.
Right. Is this a worry that as the bugs go, as the insects go, so goes an entire ecosystem, whether that is a tropical forest of some sort in Puerto Rico or a more temperate zone forest or prairie land, what have you?
It does. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So anywhere in the temperate zone or the tropics, if you take away the insects, these ecosystems are going to grind to a halt after 2 to 3 weeks or 2 to 3 months. We have to have them. If we want these birds, reptiles, amphibians, and mammals sharing our planet, we're going to absolutely have to have them. And we absolutely require their pollination services. They're part of what feeds the world.
Is there any kind of hope that, okay, over a period of 20 or 30 years, these might decline and then they bounce back and there's sort of just an up and down cycle? Or are we seeing something new here in this decline?
It's absolutely new, and it's really staggering. It's about 10% decline per decade and even greater. There's a new study out in 2017 from Northwestern Germany that's saying 5% decline per year. Just to put this in perspective, what they saw in Puerto Rico in terms of the decline. So if we would go back to, let's have a Wisconsin town with 470 people in 1977. Today, when we're looking at that, it would have less than 8 people. So all the things that a town would have with 500 people in it, businesses and people employed and all of that, would be running fine in 1977, but by today, there'd only be 8 people left. There'd be a ghost town, there'd be no jobs in town, and the economy would be destroyed. That's the kind of change we're talking about.
We're talking about declines in insect populations around the world, a dramatic new study in Puerto Rico highlighting the problem. David Wagner is with us, entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut. The big question, David, is why? Do we have ideas of why we're seeing these declines in different and very different places around the globe?
It's extraordinarily alarming because it's different places in the globe, as you just said. It's temperate forest and it's tropical forest. It's places with people, lots of people, but it's also, at least in Germany, these were 67 sites that were in biological preserves and have been in biological preserves. It's across different groups. It's pollinators and it's butterflies and it's katydids. And so it should be obvious, and it's absolutely perplexing that we don't have a single explanation. And so the Puerto Rican study, it's pretty clear that it's linked to climate change. They have a 2-degree increase in temperature there, 2 degrees centigrade temperature, and that's driving probably more frequent droughts, and that's going to be a problem for tropical animals. But what's happening in New England and Germany and England is not climate change, by and large. The decline started before our global climate started changing. It may have something to do with climate change, but we just don't know if it's pesticides. We don't know if it's changes in land use, intensification of agriculture. We're looking. We have to find out. It's absolutely urgent, and I think this paper, this study that you're talking about that triggered your interest is the clarion call for scientists to find out why. We can't solve a problem until we find out why, but it's extraordinary that it's so widespread in scope. We have to come up with some sort of planetary explanation, and it's frightening. But the other possibility, and the most frightening one, I think, is if the explanation is that it's death by a thousand cuts, that that humans have reached densities where it's really difficult in terms of their pesticide and energy use and exploitation of land for agriculture, and all of that is having sort of a downstream or cascading consequence.
So if there's not a one-size-fits-all explanation, it sounds like there probably are different causes. Is it possible that we could have, as solutions, some global efforts and then some really specific on-the-ground efforts in local areas that might help turn things around?
Well, all those efforts will help, and we have to, you know, get on board to do that. I mean, obviously, we have to have the honeybee and wild bee. So whatever is required to save those or actually increase their numbers is going to happen. We don't have any alternative there. But just in terms of litter processing and saving individual species of vertebrates and birds that we love, we can take actions, and it's just a matter of identifying what the individual causes are at this point.
Now, there's a lot of efforts to help migratory birds of various sorts in Wisconsin, cranes, mm-hmm. sandhill cranes, for example, right. Whooping cranes. And a big part of the story there, I know, is habitat and restoring habitat along their migration path.
Right.
Could we do something like that for insects? I don't know if they migrate so much. I know the butterflies do. Can we have habitat restoration that's going to make a difference?
Well, I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel there. I mean, one of the great things about insects and insect conservation is that they produce so many eggs. So I think their capacity for rebounding is 10 times greater than that of a crane or a bird. You know, they produce hundreds of offspring per female. So if we can get the formula right, I think we could turn things around in very short periods of time.
Do you feel like this is under the radar? You don't have big, majestic birds, say, like cranes. You have insects that are small or in a place that people don't go that often. Is this a harder sell to the public and policymakers that, hey, this is a really important thing?
I think they're going to start paying attention. This new study in Puerto Rico and some of the data that's being collected now is just frightening. It's scary as all heck. And we're talking about losing all 13 species of frogs that are in this rainforest by, you know, the middle of the next century, or this century, actually. We're talking about a number of birds that people really care about disappearing. Anything that's highly dependent on insects could start seeing rapidly diminishing numbers. So I think, as I said, that the clarion call is out, and there's going to be funding from governmental agencies and NGOs to figure out why these things are declining and what we can do to turn this around.
Are we monitoring this enough? Are we lucky in some ways that we've had longer-term monitoring and now in Puerto Rico and, as you said, England, Germany, New England? But is there enough out there, enough observation out there to see what's going on?
That's the Achilles heel in this whole thing, is that we don't. You know, there's just so many insects that it's been hard to get historical data over a long periods of time for any taxon. I mean, half the world's animals are insects. And so normally when people think about conservation, they're looking at rare and endangered species, and we pay attention to them, and it's easy to monitor something like the sandhill crane, even band them. But with insects, this is scary because it's not the rare and endangered ones we're worried about. It's the abundant species that are becoming less abundant. It's a totally new phenomenon for us to worry about. And we haven't collected monitoring data on extremely common species. You know, Wisconsin probably has at least 30,000 species of insects, and the amount of resources to monitor those, whether your populations are declining, we have no data. We have very little historical data except for maybe major crop pests.
We'll leave it there for now. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay, good talking with you. Thanks for the invitation. Bye now.
That's David Wagner, entomologist and professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Connecticut. We talked with him about the steep decline in the global insect population and a series of studies in different parts of the world showing the decline and the hunt for causes for that decline.